When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we roll into hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. And 800-919-3776, of course, is the number to be part of the conversation. And I am sure many of you are going to have questions and reactions and everything else to who we have coming up here momentarily. But before we get to Bobby Marks and the latest on the NBA trade deadline, which is coming up on Thursday, hey, Bart, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han.
Wait a minute.
Oh, false start.
You can't.
Flag.
False start.
False start. Number 57, defense.
Well, at least it's not a holding penalty. Like Nick Bosa says, all the Kansas City Chiefs do is hold.
Oh, we're already starting. Already starting. We'll get into the football a little bit later on. All right, again. Hour number three, Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
Okay.
They clean my pipes out, so I got more. I can get more. Yeah, a lot more.
Now, did you hear Jacob do it? You heard Jacob do it, right? You've heard when Jake did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had a little micro mini pimp.
It was like
it's the power hour.
That was pretty good, right?
All
right, so he went for a while.
About a seven.
We had Tom try it on Friday.
Tom.
It went as expected.
It's the power
When did you become a soprano?
I mean, that was really.
I feel like that's outside of your range, man. You try to sing like Prince.
I went.
You supposed to be like Barry White.
I was way too excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. You went way too high. It was like you was octave. You was up there, man. You was trying to do Mariah Carey.
He was definitely like all in on it. But you know. But anyways, we are sponsored. The Power Hour brought to you by Avocado Green Mattress. Sleep avocado. Natural. Well, we are not sleeping until Thursday. I know this man won't. And that is Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, who is going to be extremely busy all week on all types of platforms, including the Woj Pod. They are putting one out every day. It started today. So if you want the latest, that's where you go, because he and Woj have all the intel and also the background and the perspective and everything else. Bobby, kind enough to join us right now. Thanks, Bobby. So good to talk to you. And let's start in Philadelphia, where the injury to Joel Embiid means what for the Sixers going forward?
Oh man, I mean, if you look at if you look at the track record, 4-10 without him. I mean, can you make the case that this team that we thought was a 3 seed could be fighting for a play-in spot or in the back end of the play, not fighting for, but in that 7-8 range? And I think a lot of it will be determined when he has the surgery and what the prognosis is. But I think it's for Philadelphia, I think you're not punting on the trade deadline. I don't think that's the approach you're taking. It's probably similar to what if he was still healthy, where you're still looking for these kind of like, I guess, short-term rentals, guys in the last year of their contract. It's hard to go out and chase a guy, and there's not many guys out there, high-level guys to chase that's got years left, because without Embiid on the court, like, how does it fit? You know, especially you don't want to go out and give up two or three first-round picks for a player that might not fit, with Embiid here. But, yeah, they're in a little bit of a danger zone here. I mean, you saw them Saturday night against Brooklyn, a non-competitive loss. They have not been good without Embiid here. And the likelihood is that, it's probably going to be, we'll wait to hear, but, probably a couple months here.
They've been super careful around the language around his injury as well. Yeah. So if we're talking about, a couple of months, I don't know if it's any supplemental pieces that can help them just stay afloat. I'm sure they're encouraged by the fact that, Miami was 8th seed last year and was able to get all the way to the championship. But how does this affect, them moving forward, but also the long term about Joel Embiid and how much you have to try and maybe go out and get a star? I know Maxey's a budding star, but get a certified star, almost a big three, because you may have to monitor his minutes going forward just so you can make sure that he can play at a high enough level through the life of this contract.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, the goal was, you know, certainly how Maxey has taken off this year is that, hey, now we've got two high-level players, certainly an MVP and, you know, a guy who can compete at an all-NBA level in Tyrese. Now, we don't need a third star, right? This was before the injury. We can just kind of go out and build out our depth and add a third guy that's making $20 million, like, example, DeJounte Murray. But now with Embiid and his injury history, and you know, you might have to kind of go in a different approach here. The problem is that there's not a third star out there. There's not, you know, we're not sitting in a position like we were a year ago when Kyrie Irving became available the week before the deadline. Kevin Durant became available two or three days. So I think that thinking probably is probably for something when we get into the off season, when somebody becomes available. Maybe things go sour with the Clippers with Paul George, and then you say, like, you know what, we need a third guy because the with Joel's health, we need an instead of the depth factor there, we go out and chase a third guy here. But before the injury, the perfect way to build it was, you know, just kind of getting complementary players because you already had two high level players.
Now, do you think I don't know, so I'm asking truly. The Philadelphia, you know, losing Harden and what they gave up for him, how are they positioned next year where we anticipate maybe some stars could shake loose because of the new rules underneath the luxury tax?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we're going to talk a lot about cap space. They've got three first-round picks right now. That increases to five starting the night of the draft. So you've got the draft equity to go about doing it. If somebody does shake free, you've got potential to have cap space. But what creating cap space does is that it basically kind of guts your roster. Maxey, Embiid, Paul Reed, those will really be the only players left on there to go out and chase a superstar here. I always thought, like, the way that Denver has built the roster, where with Jokic and Murray, and then they went out and got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Aaron Gordon, it only cost them one first-round pick to do it. That's the way to go about doing it, and that's the perfect way here. It's kind of hedge your bet at the deadline, but keep yourself some flexibility. But they'll have the resources, if one of these, you know, if a Donovan Mitchell or Trey Young or one of those guys become available down the road.
Talking with Bobby Marks, as the trade deadline for the NBA is coming up on Thursday at 3:00. So with that in mind, and I'm glad Bart asked that, because I wanted to go there, as I mentioned, that you and Woj together on the Woj podcast this whole week is going to be fascinating. Listen, but today especially, I thought it was important that he had you explain why this summer will have a lot of intriguing movement because of what Bart mentioned, which is that new level of luxury tax that's being added here. And I have a lot of, we have on this show a lot of Knicks fans who are feeling like, put all the chips in the middle of the table and go out and go get Chase stars by the deadline and go for it now. And it's, I don't care, give up draft picks for Malcolm Brogdon, you know, things like that. And I'm trying to explain that this summer there might be more on the market. Could you, at least with your knowledge and expertise, explain to the listeners why this summer there's going to be some teams that might have to move on from high-end players because of this new level of luxury tax?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, from a government standpoint, it's basically a third of the government is going to be shut down starting in the offseason here. So teams that are, we call this the second apron, teams that are close at a $190 million mark, whether it be the Clippers or Golden State and Phoenix, Milwaukee, all these high-spending teams, they're not going to have the resources anymore to add to their roster, especially if you don't have draft picks here, because you can't take back more money in a deal. You can't send cash out to buy a second round pick. You can't combine salary anymore to, you know, trade for a $40 million player. You can't add, you know, two $20 million. That's not going to be allowed anymore. So you've got a third of the league that's in this that's in this territory. So now if you're in New York and you're sitting in Oklahoma City and, you know, certainly Utah, some of these other teams, you're sitting in a perfect spot. Because you can maybe go out and absorb contracts if you want, or take back, or you'll have the resources when, you know, when one of these all-stars become available, because the days of Milwaukee going out and getting Drew getting Damian Lillard, or Boston getting Drew Holiday, or the Clippers getting James Harden, that is over. Like, that's over starting in mid-April here. You're just not going to be allowed to do that. And it's a process of elimination. It's a process of elimination, basically, kind of who's left standing here in New York. If they're patient, they will be there, you know, waiting if that guy, you know, eventually, you know, whoever that is, does become available.
Yeah, and that's the fascinating part of it. And I asked Wendy on Friday, you know, can he give me some names? He refused to, because you're not putting my name on that stuff. So I'll make sure I don't ask you the same thing, because I'm sure nobody wants their name on it.
Well, listen,
yet.
Alan, we go through it every year. It's the playoffs. The playoffs will dictate who's going to become available. Because let's say, and this is just hypothetical, is that let's say Minnesota gets eliminated in the first round. Okay, and who knows? I mean, they could be facing Phoenix in the first round. Minnesota is one of these high spending, we call them second apron teams, right? They're going to be restricted as far as how they add. They might look at their roster and say, you know what? You know, we're going to need to move Carl Anthony Towns money or somebody else here. And New York is sitting on, you know, 8 first-round picks or 9 first-round picks, and we can get 4 back or 5 back. That's where the patience level will be, because there'll be somebody, and there'll probably be multiple players here come mid-June, closer to the draft, July 1st, that will become available. And there's nobody right now. Like, nobody's available at that level right now leading up until February 8th.
That's the bigger thing. And I'm glad you said that part, because I think what we get caught up in is it's a trade deadline. We have that sense of urgency, and it becomes, who can you get? Can you get a star? Can you get a star? And it becomes, no. So with that in mind, and you're saying nobody of that level is available at this trade deadline later this week. So can you give me, and again, I'm making you now the general manager of the Knicks. If you have this team and presently constituted what you have, knowing the Randall injury, you know, knowing that you have Ananobi, what your bench looks like, can you tell me if you had, from available players that you know of, if you had the ability to get one or two, who would they be? Who should they be targeting?
I'd go after Bruce Brown in Toronto. I think that would make the most sense, and certainly it would be the Fournier contract. And, you know, do you have to sacrifice a first? And if it is, maybe it's one of those Wizards or Detroit first, that who knows if it gets protected here. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, Randall's out and Mitch is out and you need some bigs and stuff like that. I just think, you know, I think, with Bruce, guys won a championship and can give you more guard depth. Can play point guard if you had to, you don't have to play him 30 minutes here. I think that would be the perfect guy as far as who he fits. And then he's got a team option for next year, and you can decline it and sign him at a lower number and still have the flexibility if you wanted to go out and do another deal in the offseason here. But that would be the guy. Listen, Malcolm Brogdon would be great in New York, you know, as far as another ball handler here. But I don't know if I'm willing to give up a first-round pick for Malcolm Brogdon, and the price for DeJounte Murray is too rich. There's not as many sellers as we've seen in the past. There's really, I guess, 4 or 5 teams that are in that category.
Yeah, those are the names that keep coming up. Like, it's the same names. I was wondering is there a wild card that you've heard about that could be out there? Not necessarily just for the Knicks, but a name that's like a bit of a wild card that you would say, you know, it'd be interesting if they move this guy.
Yeah, I mean, wild card, it's just a weird market because of, as we've talked about, the new rules and stuff like that. I mean, wild card, I don't know if we put Kyle Kuzma as a wild card. I mean, just because of what's going on in Washington and, you know, where that roster is and certainly just signed that new contract here. But that's, that doesn't really tip the scale of balance. And there's not a player out there that you get at the deadline and be like, oh, you know, it's all of a sudden it's a game changer, like, you know, Kevin Durant last.
Shift the balance of power kind of thing.
Yeah. It's just not there. I mean, if things went sour in Cleveland, then we would be probably talking about Donovan Mitchell. But that team has a chance to be the 2 seed. You know, I mean, they're in that right where New York is right now.
Is Golden State too proud to see, like, the writing on the wall that I think we all see, that maybe they should try and move some of these older guys and build around Steph Curry and maybe let Draymond or or Clay go a bit early than instead of waiting for the off season?
Yeah, I mean listen, where they are right now, they're not even in the plan. I would think, you know, if it's, you know, probably unlikely with Clay, but I think if I was, and I know that you have to, the legacy part, but I think if there was a way that you can move off Clay Thompson, he was not good. I watched them the other night against Atlanta. I mean, I think it was 2-13. If you can get a first round pick for him, I would certainly look at it. And that's a guy, like, you could say, hey, this really makes sense with Clay Thompson. Right? Does that make sense as far as a guy on an expiring, maybe get a first round pick here? I think we'll circle Chris Paul leading up until Thursday here, just because he's got that non-guaranteed contract for next year. I think he would make sense in Orlando. You know, I think Chris would make sense in Orlando. How the Magic have kind of, you know, they need a point guard. I know he's still out with that injury, and they're going to have to make it. They're another one of these teams, high spending teams, that will be forced to, you know, certainly make a financial decision here.
Why wouldn't Chris Paul make sense for the Knicks? And I know he's hurt, but, you know, like, they need a backup point guard. He's a vet. He's got a relationship with Leon Rose, but I've never heard him connected at all with the team. Is there a reason for that?
You would. No, you're right. No, there hasn't been any connection there, and there's certainly a relationship there. And you would know there's nothing you would owe outside of you know, what's left on his contract this year. You know, you could waive him in the offseason. You can go in a different direction, or maybe, you know, try to re-sign him and everything like that. But it's the $30 million. Fournier is at, what, 18? Mm-hmm. He's trying to get closer to that. You know, what else are you adding to that?
That's a good point, the money.
He would make sense if we didn't have to kind of match money here.
Yeah, and I guess that's a big part of it, is the money and the match and everything else.
Well, that's the thing. Listen, I'd love to come on the show and we could just talk X's and O's and everything like that. But this CBA, man, is like, it's like, and I said it, like, we wrote about it today. It used to be like you would just go to James Dolan and say, hey, it's going to cost us $25 million in luxury tax penalties. And now Leon's saying, well, it's going to do this, this, and this. There's like five different steps there as far as how it's going to, you know, impact us. And that's where these rules are right now.
And that's why I wanted you on to explain it, because as I was listening to the podcast this morning, I was glad that you took that time to explain that, because I'm sure you have explained it before, but we always have to refresh people before a trade deadline, where that trade machine, I'm telling you, it's addictive. It'd be calling me. Like, you just plugging in names, and then it's, oh, salary. Oh, wait, I can make this work. And then you're like,
well,
yeah,
listen, we can talk about the apron and all these complex rules, but we had a hard time just finding four AA batteries to start the podcast.
I heard about
there,
that.
You know?
He was stealing batteries from people.
We're probably going to get charged with like a misdemeanor felony or something up here in Bristol for stealing somebody's batteries here. So it got off to a slow start, but we were able to kind of pull through it.
I heard about rummaging through desks and everything else just for a bunch of batteries, just so you can get the podcast done. Last but not least, on the LeBron front. It was quite theater this whole weekend, and Rich Paul had to come out. It's so funny because I was on Get Up on Friday morning, and they asked.
I'm with you. Listen,
are you agree?
I talked to Hillary Guy, who does NBA Today and is our producer, and is terrific. We were talking this morning, and I said to her, I watched Get Up on Friday, and I watched the show Saturday night, and it was great theater, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we work for an entertainment. And I said, listen, if I was on the show, this is what I would have done if I was LeBron James. I'd ask to be traded to the Knicks, and then I'd go there, and I'd opt out of my contract, and then re-sign with the Lakers in the offseason.
Yeah.
If you want to go win a championship, here it is, right? Like, that's your best way. Is it going to happen?
That's some Marauders Chapman stuff right there, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that you go about doing it here, because you go east, you get out of the West. The West is brutal. You go east, you're there for 4 months, and then you go back to L.A., and, you know, certainly you figure out what the finances are and everything like that. But that would be the way I would go about doing that.
And that's what Bart is referencing, Aroldis Chapman. I'm sure you know. when he was with the Yankees, and they traded him to the Cubs. They won a World Series. They got Gleyber Torres, among other things, for him. And then Chapman signed back with the Yankees. Like, yeah, perfect. You know, that's how it works out.
Yep.
And so when they – you know how those meetings go, where they're like, all right, well, what's a crazy trade that you'd love to see? And I was like, well, this is what I would do. Like, if it's not – it's not happening, but if – like, you're thinking logically, this is what the Lakers should do. And yet, you know, Rich Paul had to immediately text Brian Windhorst and say to him, this isn't happening. I wish Rich would have texted me, of course, but that's fine. He texted Brian. Brian wrote the story right in the middle of Stephen A. going in this beautiful rant about how LeBron to the Knicks and coming to New York would just be an incredible thing. But we had it for a couple of days. But I'm glad you said, because I really wanted you to answer that question of, was I crazy to say that? Or can you see the logic in it? And you, as somebody who spent two decades in front office in the NBA, you see the logic in it then. It wasn't a crazy thing for me to say. It wasn't hot takey, right? You agree with it.
Well, listen, any time a player tweets out an hourglass emoji or whatever it was, like, and you're not playing good basketball and you've got a player option for next year, I mean, what are we supposed to just think, like, it's, you know, he's watching Days of Our Lives and that's just like the
that's right.
It's a reference to a soap opera there?
Sands in the hourglass. That's exactly it. Last thing for me, though, Bobby, is in regards to teams that have tried to put together the super teams and what they face this summer. Is this going to be short-lived in Phoenix? I mean, Bradley Beal went back to D.C. and put up a 40 burger and a nice return there. But, you know, the Booker, KD, Beal pairing or grouping, I should say, you know, they are still middling a bit at sixth in the West. They are over 500, but, you know, like it's not like they're tearing up the league. Is this going to be worth the money and everything else that comes with it beyond this season?
Well, I mean, yeah, as I talked to the team yesterday, they're the guinea pig, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're the guinea pig as far as with these rules. They'd be perfect if the season was 30 games. I mean, this is 82 games, and it's a matter of where they're going to be when we get into, I mean, if they get Denver in the first round, they'll be done. I mean, it will be over. Yeah. And then here's what happened. It will happen again. You're going to have to go through the same process of signing 9 new players again, because that's all you have. Is the veteran minimum, and Grayson Allen, who's a free agent, is going to cost you like $60 million when you factor in all the different penalties that come with it here. And I mean, that's, you know, that's where they are right now. And it's not about, you know, you got to get through the regular season, and the goal is to be in the top four, but how this roster is so top heavy, that's a challenge. Some nights they look great. Some nights they look great. And you'd be like, who cares about the apron? Right. Who cares?
Right.
You know, this team looks great. And then there's other nights, like, you know, I think in Atlanta over, you know, when Booker went for 62 and they wound up losing, they're you know, it's a top-heavy team.
Yeah, it's so obvious. And then you look at they're not great at home, which usually teams like this are great at home. But they're not. Like, they're not even a great home team. They're just very middling. And like you said, they show you moments of brilliance. But too much, there's moments of the good teams expose their weaknesses. And in a playoff series against good teams, that's what they do. And there's a lot of weaknesses that you can expose here. So I really am curious. That's the team I'm glad you called them the guinea pig, because the sons of anyone, that's the team I'm watching in the offseason. If they fall short, which I kind of think they will, and will their new owner, Matt Ishbia, decide, like, wait, that's just way too expensive to do, and we need to rethink it. And then so what assets do you have to move on from? I'd keep a close eye on the Suns.
Circle real quick. I would circle them leading up until February, because they're one of these use it or lose it teams where, like, they won't have cash to trade. They won't have these trade exceptions. They're, you know, all these resources are going to go out the window here. So this is kind of their last crack trying to go out and acquire a player here. So I would try to, you know, I would circle them as far as maybe trying to add another player.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, great stuff as always, Bobby. Thanks so much. And, make sure we have fresh batteries tonight when we record the next Woj Pod, all right?
Or do like we did in the hood, put it in the freezer. You get at least 2 more hours out of it.
Yeah, my in-laws do that too. I couldn't figure out why. I opened the fridge to get like a bagel out or something, a frozen bagel, there's batteries in there. I didn't understand that.
That's old school, say.
Definitely old school. Thanks so much, Bobby. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Bobby Marks with the latest. And as I said, I mean, if you don't already subscribe to the Woj Pod, you should, and especially this week, because they'll have the latest of all the rumors and all the things they're hearing going on around the league and the way things can work as it lead into the most wonderful time of the year, the NBA trade deadline. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Next up, you'll hear from Saquon Barkley on his future with the Giants. Yes, this will be the story of the offseason as usual, but what teams are already lining up for him? There's one very interesting one. We'll let you know coming up, but first, Bart, tell us about Sansone.
Now through President's Day only, visit Sansone Auto Mall for monumental, and reading is fundamental, deals. Payments as low as $159 a month, 0% APR financing or no payments for 90 days on Toyota, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, Mazda, Jeep, Ram, and more. Over 3,000 new and pre-owned vehicles available. Visit Samsung Auto Mall on Route 1 in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Call 1-800-SAMSONG or go to SamsungAuto.com. With approved credit through preliminary lender, see dealer for complete details. Offer ends February 29th, 2024.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
But did you see this performance?
This song's so old school. I missed it. I told you I
didn't watch it. So in the country music world, Luke Combs covered this, and it became a hit. And so to perform it at the Grammys, he did it with Tracy Chapman. This came out, what, in 90-something?
Yeah. So he remade it.
So he covered it. Yeah, he covered it as a country song, and it, like I said, it turned into a hit. But he had her come out, and I'm telling you, you have to watch it back because the best part of it last night, the Grammys had some moments like it always does, but the best moment was this. Because I guess we had no idea that this was going to happen. And so you know he's going to perform this song, and as the lights come up, and
people
they
like,
show,
who's that black girl with the dreads?
They show Tracy Chapman. She has not performed in years.
Wow.
And so you see her face as she starts to sing, and you could hear her voice kind of shake. She was overcome by the reaction of the people in the crowd who were like cheering for her. Like, that's Tracy Chapman.
That it took a country guy to make people respect and love her song.
Maybe. Who knows? But still.
We all fight to be relevant in the fact that he made her song and brought back light to what a great talent she was.
Yeah. And first of all, that wasn't her only hit, but that was her biggest hit. And so it was kind of what a cool moment that was, you know? But what did you make of Jay-Z's speech?
When I get nervous, I tell the truth.
What'd you make of that?
It was okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, it was okay.
He kind of like really let everybody have it. He wasn't entirely wrong. You know, when he was giving the whole math ain't mathin' thing about Beyonce. But, I mean, no offense. We love Beyonce. Can we stop defending her? I mean, I don't think she really is
She lost to Taylor Swift again.
But, again, I mean, she's not losing in life. Like, enough. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we have to keep bringing it up like all those years ago when Kanye did it. But speaking of Taylor, so she won, and then she also won big by announcing a new album coming out in April.
It's called Kelsey's.
No. But did you notice, though, speaking of Kelsey, that while she was thanking many people that helped her have success, she never once mentioned Travis Kelsey?
Because that's a genre who don't care about, you know, the men there do, but it's like, Let's leave him for Sports Illustrated. Sit down.
Did you think, though, what I didn't understand is the outrage about that. Because did you think she needed to mention him?
Well, she should thank her man. She's been in the spotlight.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did Kobe once say? Were you in the gym shooting? Were you in the gym with me? when I was working on my game.
Well, she got a new album, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't in the gym.
What does he need to be thankful? What I'm saying is she has a new album.
Yeah.
I'm sure his pen helped her get some inspiration.
Excuse me? I think that was something that she had probably started working on well before he came into her life.
No, but I'm sure his pen. Remember, this is a person who best songs are based off of relationships and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gave her some thug passion inspiration. You know what I'm saying?
You think that's what
like,
it was?
We'll find out
when that album comes out and there's a song on there where she's just like... Like, remember, what's the one song by Janet? Well, you know that song was only about one thing.
Anytime.
Yeah, that one where she's just, like, moaning the whole time. Like, damn.
What does she have a song that she just moaned?
I'm trying to remember the name of the song now.
Oh, Anytime, Anyplace?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's Anytime. Anytime, Anyplace.
So you think if Taylor has a song like that on it, you know it's exactly what it's
about. Because most of her songs are about getting broken up with or like, I don't know what her song's name.
Well, she has a song called Out of Style.
Tom, what's one of her songs where she's hating on men? One of the famous ones.
Oh, there's a couple. There's definitely a couple. But she does have songs. She has two
songs.
You're
not a Swiftie, Tom?
I'm not a Swift. I should know because I have a sister who listens to Taylor Swift, but none of her songs are coming to mind for whatever reason.
Okay.
Well, I have teenage and 20-year-old daughters, so
she gonna have a song called Thug Passion.
I am well versed in Swiftie.
Give me that thug passion, baby. When you threw that flag up in the bed and you. With my head in the thug passion.
This is where
baby.
Bart becomes donkey.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
he just starts
Taylor Swift
randomly.
Missed her concert. She's on injury support, sciatica.
So there's different songs that she has made about certain people that she's dated. And one of them would be there's two songs about Harry Styles.
Mm.
And one of them is called Style, which is all about the two of them and how they met one night, like kind of. But
how big is Harry
Styles?
But
she's also had a couple of really nasty.
But that's what I'm saying.
Nasty songs.
That's what I'm saying. How big is Harry Styles?
No, he's huge. He's a.
No.
Oh, you mean physically big?
Yes.
He's British, so not.
Right. So this her first time having
You're
a good
talking
old
about like crush. 6'6", 240.
Yeah. She's like, yo, my new man kick all y'all ass.
Well, she's like, what's she like, 5'10"? Isn't she?
Yeah,
pretty,
she's tall
she's
too.
Pretty tall.
That's what I'm saying. So he's like, my new man kick all.
She's 5'11".
Right. See, that's
what I'm
saying.
she's almost as big as him.
Right. So
she can't wear heels hanging out with Harry Styles.
So she's like, yo, my man to kick off. Like let Travis catch him trying to hit her up on the DM or send her a message on her phone. I'll just call and see how you mean. Travis over there, him and his brother, kicking ass. Yo, let me say something. A woman loves when they know that they man can kick somebody ass.
Yeah.
Like, when you're like, hold on.
A little
up,
bit
up.
Of confidence.
Hold up. Paparazzi over there. Hold up. I'll be right back. Just spike his ass. Bam!
The bodyguard.
Don't worry. My baby gonna pay the bill. Don't worry, baby.
So we are in agreement that the outrage about her never mentioning him.
She should have.
No.
She's his inspiration.
Unnecessary.
He mentioned her.
When?
See my girlfriend.
Yeah, but that.
On his podcast.
Yeah, but that's different. That's a podcast. That wasn't him. If he wins the Super Bowl. And he is named.
She's going to be right there.
If he's
all
named,
over,
the,
she gonna
if
be right
named
there.
The Super Bowl MVP,
she gonna be
you
on the
think he's going to be like, thank you, Taylor.
She's going to be.
You're everything to me.
She's going to be on the field.
Oh, she could be on the field.
Like Kim Kardashian. Like, she's the main reason why she. Like,
now, remember,
won.
She's got to fly from Tokyo to make this game. That's the whole plan. She's got shows in Tokyo.
Bro, that's fine.
But I'm saying.
Tokyo to Vegas is 5 hours.
If you think that he's going to thank her. If he wins the Super Bowl, I don't see it.
I bet she's going to be right there all up in this.
I didn't say she's not going to be there.
You ain't see him up there.
She won't be on the stage.
You didn't see him running up on the stage for him?
She will not be on the stage.
Yo, but it's going to be how many pictures of them kissing.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the AFC Championship.
Well, he couldn't go. Now, how about this? If he was available to be at the Grammys and he was sitting there at the table with her and she went up to win, you don't think she would have acknowledged him because he's there? But because he couldn't go, there's no reason to do it. I could not believe the outrage. Oh, my God, she didn't mention that. Who cares?
She can't.
You think Travis Kelce was sitting there going, damn, she didn't even say my damn name. No, I don't think at all.
I bet his brother and her mom went,
You think Mama Kelce was like, oh, really?
Mm. Her ticket sales went up even more because now you got grown-ass football man buying them.
her.
She probably got a 10% boost from dudes that's like, oh, man, she all right.
I'm not buying it. Now, one more thing here.
Okay.
Like I said, NFL notes here. Patrick Mahomes Sr. into some trouble. Always in the Super Bowl, something, right? So he...
at least he didn't have no...
he was reportedly arrested over the weekend for DUI. Not great. Not a good look for Mahomes.
Yo, like, Patrick Mahomes' body looked just like I envisioned it.
Yes. Well, I don't know why you'd envision it, but we'll leave that to another day.
No, because he's like a little fat dude. It kind of reminds me of, like, before Chris Paul went all vegan, what his body looked like.
That's a good point. Cliff Kingsbury quickly signed by the Washington Commanders as the offensive coordinator. Hang on a second. I thought he was supposed to be with the Raiders.
Yeah.
But yet over the weekend, that fell through.
No, the Raiders draft pick isn't high enough.
And then 2 days later, he becomes the offensive coordinator of the Commanders. Hmm. What do you read out of that, Bart Scott? Because what's interesting is that his former player at USC, Caleb Williams, congratulated him on the job in Washington.
They're trying to put the band back together. Like Caleb Williams already said that he didn't want to go to the Bears.
Yep.
And you know he's from I think the DMV area is what they call it when you're from that area.
Yes.
And
DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. So he's from that area. What better way to kind of like promote that the times are changing in Washington?
Number two pick. Could this be an Eli Manning, Philip Rivers type situation?
Yeah, because I don't see how Chicago says, give me Drake May. You know, if it's Drake May, then I'd rather trade out the pick. Mm. If I'm the Bears, I'd rather trade out the pick.
Familiarity there, that he know the kid, you can have an offense for him.
So the offense is going to move fast.
Wouldn't this be interesting?
I mean, he's a guy at 30 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions this year.
That'd be big for Washington. Huge.
That'd be huge. You talk about, you know.
There's your future.
You know Magic, right? Guy be like, Showtime. Like, what you want? Like, I guarantee you.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, they might send, you know what, Chicago, you guys, you know, because they might want to say, you know what, let's just swap. Like, it shouldn't be that big of a move for you to drop to second and you drop the first. You know, they'll send, like, you might have to send a guy like.
If you're Ben Johnson,
you're not sending Scary Terry, but you might send Gibson and some players to try and say, all right, listen, we'll send you some players and a draft pick and we swap. Like, I'll give you this year's 2. Because just think, if they give Chicago a 2, then that'd be like. Right. 35 or something.
Well, that's certainly a story to watch.
One drop.
Quickly here, also Saquon Barkley, who was on First Take this morning. Quickly, I'll give you that in a second. But here's Ryan Leaf over the weekend on NFL Network about another team that would have Saquon high on the list.
This is the one thing I think about Jim Harbaugh, too, in terms of what he wants to do offensively. Austin Eckler's a big part of what that could be with them running the football, but I do think that Saquon Barkley is going to be at the top of his list in terms of what he wants to do with the running back position with him being a free agent. I think they can franchise tag him again, that's a lot of money, but it's something I know that Jim Harbaugh wants to do. He wants to run the football, and he wants to use those guys down the field with play action.
Wow.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Why don't you just sign his guy? I mean, I would love if they do that because I would love the Jets to sign Everett. They got a nice tight end.
Excuse me? Here's Barkley on First Take this morning.
Sign Everett. What do you mean?
No, the other part. He made it clear he doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to stay with the Giants.
I know how special, you know, the Giants organization is. I got nothing but tremendous respect for the Tisch family, for the Mayer family. This is the team that drafted me. And I'm a big believer of setting the goal and accomplishing that goal. And when I got drafted here, one of my goals would be the reason why, you know, the Giants is back on top. The reason why we're having a parade in New York. And it just haven't went that way so far in my career. And like I said before, I want to be a Giant for life. I mentioned that. I want to be in the likes of Tiki, Michael, Eli. But the sad part of it is it's the NFL. It's a business. If this was my last season, I had a blast. But the beauty of it is there's still a lot left in the tank. And, you know, if I'm not a New York Giant next year and I'm somewhere else, they're going to get the leader, they're going to get a hard worker, they're going to get a competitor, and someone who will go out there and compete at a high level to win football games.
He said the right things there. He didn't say anything, but he said the right things.
He's delusional, man. Like,
delusional.
They're not that into you, bro.
Oof.
Like, it's so many other options.
Let's, on the other side, well, let's Let's break this down a little bit further, shall we, before we hand it off to the Case Show. 800-919-3776 as well. But first, hey, football fans, FanDuel has the perfect way for everyone to get in on the Super Bowl 58 action with no sweat, same game parlays. But when you bet on Super Bowl 58 on FanDuel, one game can mean a lot of wins. America's number one sportsbook has all your favorite bets like the money line and the spread, plus all sorts of prop bets. Now, it means you can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You get bonus bets back if your SGP doesn't win. So start building your own or just bet a popular SGP already that is made for you in America's number one sportsbook. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen if you don't already have an account. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older, physically present in New York. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY-467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the Michael Kay Show, which is coming up momentarily, they're going to be live from UBS Arena this Thursday, February 8th. That's before the Islanders take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we're giving away 8 pairs of lower bowl tickets plus 1 pair of premium club seats at ESPNNewYork.com or, of course, on the ESPN New York app. By now, you should have it. If you don't, what are you doing? Just get it. And you can scroll down to contest, submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. We get back now from the All-Star break, and let's see if Patrick Waugh can get some winning done around here. I do like the impact that he's had kind of already mentally on this group. And then Matt Barzal had a really nice All-Star weekend. He showed out with his speed in the contest, and he played really well in the 3-on-3. So let's see if Barzal has himself a strong finish to the season. He seems to be responding well to Patrick Waugh. So, and the boys will be out there at UBS on Thursday. Trade deadline is Thursday as well. You know, that's a big show for us. Big stuff going on there.
Patrick Roy, baby.
Yes. Also, Bart, can I just shout out Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier for a second? Absolutely. Today is their anniversary, 25th anniversary of their first broadcast together.
Hmm.
And they have been celebrating, you know, we've been celebrating it at the network for the last couple of days. And tomorrow night during the broadcast, obviously, we'll make a big deal about it, of course. But it is something special because it, like you talk about Breen and Clyde, like that's what you say, right?
Well, it's Breen,
who's on to, it's Breen and Clyde. And they have had the chemistry between the two of them, the fact that both of them are in the Hall of Fame and broadcasters, the fact also that it's like, it's, Mike Breen had posters of Walt Frazier in his room growing up as a Knicks fan,
yeah.
And then he gets to work with him, right? Like, it's like that's
and Clyde is
and
so
then they
unique.
Hit it, yes, and the fact that he's like you in many ways. Yeah. I guess it's maybe it's the Saluki thing,
yeah.
But it's the fact that Clyde doesn't carry himself. I mean, we all know he's
like
a legend.
Anybody else. It's like, but he's right. Different from anybody we've ever seen.
And if Mike had like interjected an opinion about something, Clyde accepts the opinion because he respects Mike's, you know, preparation and knowledge and everything else. You're the same way. Like with me, a lot of times I can come at you, and it's not like you don't play the "I played, bro." Like you don't give me that card.
That's such a low hanging fruit,
right? So kudos to them and congratulations to them for a longstanding pair and two of the greatest to do it in this market, which, of course, we have some of the greatest broadcasters. So I've said this. Those two guys set the standard. As at all great teams, you have the standard bearers, the ones that uphold everything. That's what Mike and Clyde do. And the rest of us live up to it. So congratulations, certainly, to them. And with that, we hand it off to the K Show, and Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
That was it?
That's it, baby.
Hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.